All right, everybody. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Glad you could make it here this Wednesday night. Let's go ahead and take out our hymnals. We're going to start off in song 296. Follow on. Again, glad you could make it all tonight. Song number 296. Follow on. Sing it all together on the first. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me I would follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley, beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow.
It's a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we could be gathered together in your house tonight to hear your word being preached. I just pray you bless the service, bless us singing, help us all to walk out of here as better Christians and apply the message to our lives. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Next is going to be 155, Doxology. Like always, we'll sing this twice. It's a pretty quick one, so... 155, Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. At this time, we'll go through our announcements. If you need a bulletin, raise up your hand and an usher will try and bring one to you. If you haven't noticed, we don't have Pastor Shelley with us tonight, but we still got his family here. So hopefully we'll see him back here on Sunday. And you're stuck with me preaching tonight, so sorry to disappoint you. We'll have the Bible study again next week. So let's go through our bulletin. On the front page, you'll see our Bible memory passage. We're in Psalm 148. We're in verse 11. So anybody who can quote the entire chapter word perfect, you'll get a special prize from Pastor Shelley. He normally dishes out some good stuff. And any child, if you're under 18 and you do that specific verse, if you do verse 11 this week, you'll get ice cream or some candy for any of the kids if they can quote that word perfect. So I encourage you to get everybody involved in that, especially your children. And then on the inside page of our bulletin, we have our service times Sunday morning at 10:30, and we have our Spanish service in the afternoon, and then our normal Sunday evening service at 5:30, Wednesday at 7. I think y'all know about that one, right? We have our church-wide soul winning times down there listed below. If you'd like to meet up with the church at those times, we'll gather here together and we'll send you out two by two. And then we have regional soul winning times. If that's closer for you, you can contact the people who lead those. That way it's, you know, more convenient for you to go in those areas. I know Brother Malton, he does Fort Worth area. And Brother Suhail, he's out in Dallas. And then Brother Goodwin, he's out in Weatherford. So get in contact with them if you'd like to go out soul winning in those specific areas. And then if we ever give you any soul winning maps, make sure you just please turn them back into our bin over here, or you can give it to Brother Dylan or Pastor Shelley. That way we can properly record all of our soul winning efforts. And then we have our church stats there listed below. And then we also ask everybody to please be in prayer for our expecting ladies. That list just keeps growing and growing. So amen for that. So just please be praying for them that they'd all have a healthy pregnancy and delivery. And then we have our prayer list that we normally go through on Wednesday nights. And so we'll quickly go through that. But if you have any prayer requests for you or family members, just make sure you send those each and every week, because if you don't send them every week, then it'll drop off the following. So if it's a continual prayer request, just please make sure you email that to the church, and that way we know to keep on praying for you. So at this time, we'll just pray for the people listed here below. We have Brother the Noguera family that's asking for health, for Lucy's mother with her tumors, for Brother Cameron with his leg, and then for Verity and Pastor Sepulveda. And the Philippines, I mean, we think we have it bad here in America. You start going to other countries, the lockdowns and restrictions are crazy, especially in Australia. So we just want to really lift up our brethren in prayer that they would just have free course. I mean, it's hard for them to even gather together sometimes. I mean, we take it for granted just going to church. They might get arrested for even trying to go to church. So, I mean, the persecution's real outside of America. So just keep being in prayer for them. And then Eva is asking for a doctor's appointment and then recovery as well. Stephanie Weathers with her health, and Dawn Stewart. And then for Ashley Holder, for her husband's visa, that, you know, that would just go, it's a long process to do a visa. So just please be praying for them constantly that they could bring their loved ones soon. I know it's very hard. And then for Krista Munoz, for her health, and then Ever Garcia's mother as well for her health and getting tested for cancer. And then for Brother Edward, he doesn't go here at Steadfast. He's down at Pure Words Baptist Church. So he's just requesting health prayers for him as well. So let's go ahead and pray for everybody here mentioned below, and then we'll finish the rest of the announcements. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you in prayer, asking you please be with these people listed here below. A lot of people are struggling a lot with their health, and you know it's so hard anytime you have any health issue. We just pray, Father, you would give them grace, give them comfort, they'd be relieved from their infirmities, Lord. You please heal them quickly and help the other people, especially our brethren, that we'd have free course to serve you, that we could be gathered together, and that we could go out and evangelize, especially the brethren in the Philippines and in Australia. We also pray for Ashley Holder, that their visa would just be going quickly, as well as for any other brothers that are going through that process, so you just get them through that as quickly as possible, so that they could be with their loved ones. And just we love you, Father, and we just pray you continue to bless our church. Bless us with more soul winners so we can continue to get the work done. And we love you and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, on the back of the bulletin, we have our upcoming events. October 31st, that's on Halloween, okay? So that's Sunday, so you shouldn't be out trick-or-treating. You should be in church, right? So, but that night, we're having the Texi chili cook-off. I know Pastor Shelley always emphasizes it's Texas chili, okay? So make sure there's no beans in it, or your chili might get reprobated by the judges, okay? So join us that night after the evening service. Anybody can bring a chili. They're going to have a chili cook-off, so I think there's going to be prizes. And even if you don't cook anything, just come eat. There's always plenty of chili to pass around, so everybody's invited to come for that. And then November 13, we have our Oklahoma Soul Winning Marathon, if you'd like to participate in that. And then December 9th through the 11th, it's going to be Brownsville and Matamoros Soul Winning Marathon. So it's going to be right on the border of Mexico. Brownsville is on the U.S. side, and I'm assuming that Matamoros is on the Mexico side if you'd like to go on that soul winning trip. And then we have a baby shower. All ladies are welcome to join the ladies here on Saturday, October 30th. That's going to be on Saturday from 12 to 2. That's going to be for Nexus Cooper and her baby girl. And so she's registered on Amazon if you'd like to get them a gift. And if you're able, you can please bring a snack or dessert to share. And so all the ladies are invited for that. And then probably the best news, got congratulations to Marcel and Denise Lugo on their baby boy, Ezekiel. John Lugo is born October 11th at 9:30 a.m. and 8 pounds, 3 ounces, and 20 and a half inches long. So good, healthy baby. Everybody doing good? So cool. So congratulations to the Lugos. So keep in prayer for them. And then you'll see the last announcement on the bottom. We're still having issues with our banking, if you don't already know or you do know. So just don't write out checks to Steadfast Baptist Church. Make sure you're writing them to Pure Words Baptist, and we can get all the donations through there. So if you want to give online or a check, make sure you write it out to Pure Words. And then there's one other announcement. It'll be right next to Doxology 154. Blessed be the tie that binds, song 154. Blessed be the tie that binds.
James chapter 4. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Lord God, I just thank you for our church and for all the good folks that made out on Wednesday night. I just pray that you would bless Brother Duncan as he preaches for us tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right. Excited to be here tonight. Thank you all for showing up. I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for having me. A great honor to preach the Word of God. And so we're here in James chapter number 4. Let's get right into the message here. We'll start reading verse number 13. The Bible says in James 4:13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the title of the sermon tonight is called, Your Life is a Vapor. Your life is a vapor. I'm picking that out from verse number 14, where it says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See, God's trying to compare our life to a vapor. Now, what is a vapor? We would think of that like smoke. You know, you see somebody smoking, what happens? That smoke, it just immediately vanishes away. And that's what he's comparing to our lives like. It's like a vapor. You know, it just goes by really fast. If you look at the grand scheme of things, we're only on the earth for a very short period of time. Now, thankfully, the people in this room have believed on Jesus Christ. You know, we're just passing through this earth. We're only going to be here 60, 70, 80 years. I mean, at the max, like 120. Most people don't make it that much further than that. And that's a long time to live. I mean, 120 years. But in the scope of all eternity, that's a vapor. I mean, that's just like, if you compare 100 years to 1,000 years, that's a vapor. If you compare 100 years to 1,000,000 years, that's a vapor. It's like nothing. It's like a very small fraction of your life when you compare it into all eternity. See, when we're in heaven, we're going to be with God. We have eternal life. We're going to live on forever. And if you think about eternity, if you think about eternal life, it's an infinite amount of time. And so when you view the life we have here, it's a very small amount of time. You know, our days are numbered, and that's why our time is very precious. Time is very valuable, right? You probably heard the phrase thrown around a lot, right? Time is money. Why? Because time is very valuable, because it's very precious. One thing about time, once it goes past, you can't get it back. You know, time traveling doesn't exist yet. You're not going to get your time back, right? And so God's trying to show us here that our life, our time here on earth, the things we're going to do for God is very precious. He compares it, it's like a vapor. It's just immediately gone away. And so That's why the things we want to do while we're here on earth, we want to try to make as big of an impact as we can right now, because our life is short. Our life is short because your life is a vapor, right? And the application I want to get for that is that we should work on our goals now. Because if you wait and you put off your service for God, you don't know how much time you have on this earth. I mean, we don't have tomorrow promised us. I mean, literally tonight could be the last night of anybody in here. We don't know. I mean, it's up to God anytime He wants to take us home. Now, I would hope for all of us to be able to live a long, happy life. We get to see our friends. We get to see our family. I mean, I would love to live till I'm 120 years old and, you know, I'm living old with my wife. We got 10 kids or 20 kids, however many kids we have. Some people are like, what? How many kids? However many the Lord will bless us with. I mean, I would love to live out my days and see that time. But, you know, honestly, we don't know when our last day is going to be, because, you know, we could go home at any moment. And that's why we're going to make the most of our time right now, because life is short. Your life is a vapor. Turn to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. I want to give you a story about a man that he was just living for the wrong things, not really realizing that his life is a vapor, and one day, you know, his life was just gone. But in James chapter number 4, I already had you turn away, but the way you're supposed to be living is that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Is that, you know, our life is such a vapor that you don't really know what you're going to be able to do, so we should just pray for God. You know, if it's up to God what I'm able to do. Whatever I'm able to accomplish, hey, it's up to God's will. I just need to try and follow Him and serve Him, and He'll get to decide how my time here on earth is spent. Here in Luke chapter number 12, look at verse number 15. And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So Jesus starts talking off with this story, with this parable, and he's telling this man to be warned of covetousness. Because Jesus is saying, look, the things that you have, the possessions you have in this life, it's pretty much meaningless. I mean, your life in the sight of God, see, God looks at your things, this is pointless. I mean, what are you going to do with everything you have? Your house is going to be gone one day. Your car is going to be gone one day. I mean, the food you have is going to perish, right? All the stuff you have stocked away, eventually it's going to perish, right? Anything you have, eventually it's going to perish. So in God's sight, He's saying, look, a man's life, it doesn't consist of the things that you have, because all that's just going to go away. Really, our life, what's really going to make the biggest impact or what's going to last is the things of eternal value. Your service for God, you following the commandments of God, the people that you get saved and you bring to heaven with you, those are the things that add value to your life, not the physical possessions that you have. And that's the mindset when going into this parable, verse number 16. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. So Jesus is going, he's explaining this parable. He's talking about this rich man, right? Saying, man, this rich guy, he's just living the dream. I mean, his barns are full. And they're so full, it's like he runs out of space, right? He filled up his house. He filled up his garage. Now he has to go get the storage unit. And now he has to go get this house. He just keeps building and building and building. And, you know, in the world's view, it's like, man, this guy is living the dream. He's very successful. And that's the world's point of view, where it looks like this guy is doing really good. But was this rich man able to take any of that with him to heaven? And it doesn't really say whether he was saved or not. I'm assuming he's just not saved. But whether he's saved or not makes no impact, because his physical possessions are gone now. I mean, when was this written? Thousands of years ago. We don't see this rich man His possessions are gone, stolen, rotten, decayed. I mean, everything's just perished by now. And God's saying this guy's whole life was completely in vain. What did this person live for? He lived for money. And that's why Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Because if you just spend your whole life chasing money, chasing the bigger paycheck, trying to get the best job possible to make the most amount of money, what are you going to do with all that money? You're going to be like this rich man. Man, he's just talking to himself, man, I'm doing good. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. He's just talking to himself like, man, he's just sitting in his vacation house like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Look at my bank account. Look at all my stocks. Like, look at my retirement account. I'm sitting pretty good. That's what he was living for. Jesus was giving this warning. He's saying, beware of covetousness, because all those things that this rich man had, he was not rich toward God. And if you're not rich toward God, any physical possessions you have are meaningless. But what's the main thing I wanted to take from this story? God said in verse number 20, God said to him, thou fool. Why was he stupid? Why was this rich man a fool in God's sight? Because he was chasing money his whole life. He wasn't doing anything of eternal value. And this rich man thought he was going to be able to live a really long time. Wasn't that his mind frame? Like, man, I'm just doing so good right now. I can just stop working and go into early retirement, and I can just live happily the rest of my days. That's his frame of mind, right? And I'm sure most of us, that's probably how we think in our fleshly mind. Like, man, hopefully I can just make it, you know, good enough where I can attain a bunch of riches and I can just sit and relax and retire early. But if that's our whole goal in life, what value did you have in your life? What did your life really mean? And God called him a fool because he said, this night, your soul is going to be required of thee. He said, tonight, you're going to die. And what could he take with him? Nothing. I mean, that would be pretty sad to see, right? If you just like worked your whole life, you worked 50, 60, 70 years building your own business, and then you just died, and you didn't get to take any of that with you, you know, whether you had kids or not, it just goes off to somebody else. I mean, what happened to all your riches? Nothing. But that's how God viewed it. He said, you're a fool because you were going to die the next day. He said, tonight you're going to die. And what's the application? Your life is a vapor. You could literally die tonight, even if you're saved. I mean, any one of us could die tonight. We could die after the service. Now, like I said, hopefully that doesn't happen. You know, we pray for God to keep us from the evil. We all want to live a really long life. That would be nice. But the fact of the matter is we don't know how much time we have. We really don't. You could be another year. It could be another 5 years. It could be another 10 years. I mean, who knows? It's really up to the Lord. And we don't want to just let life pass us by. And we don't want to let our life be about things that don't matter like this rich man. The only thing he was seeking after is riches. And the Bible said that life isn't about possessions. How much food that's great for poor people. It's nice hearing that kind of preaching when you're poor, right? It's like, hey, life isn't about riches. Like, good, because I ain't rich. I'm broke. This is some good preaching right here. It really only affects the rich people. Like, oh, man, everything I've been doing is pointless, right? But the poor is like, cool, I didn't miss out on anything. But life isn't about how much things that you have. And you don't know when your last day is going to be. And the point I want to get from this is you don't want to just let your life pass you by where you think you have so many years to come and you can just lay up these riches for yourself and then all of a sudden you die. And y'all are saved, so you're going to wake up in heaven, but I would hate for you to live the rest of your eternity in heaven with regret, saying, man, all the things I was doing in this life didn't even matter. I'm here in heaven, and yeah, it's great. It's going to be great in heaven no matter what you did in this life. As long as you're saved, you believed in Jesus Christ, it's going to be great to wake up in heaven no matter what. But you don't want to look back on the rest of your life, the things that you could have accomplished, and it's like, why wasn't I doing anything? Why did I not accomplish anything with my life? I mean, I could have had great rewards in heaven. I could have gave more glory to God while I was here on this earth, but I just let all that pass by me because I was seeking after the wrong things. Turn to Judges chapter number 10. Judges chapter number 10. Because there's several stories in the Bible. I mean, we could spend all night just going through story after story where people, they just all of a sudden died, or maybe they just had a very short-lived life, or God just doesn't give a lot of description in their life because nothing really happens, right? You're there in Judges chapter number 10. This happened with a couple of people where it just seems like they didn't really accomplish anything in their life. Now, maybe they did, but we don't really get that from the passage. Judges chapter 10, look at verse number 1. And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. I mean, this is the only thing we have in recorded history in the Bible, in the Word of God, of this man's life. After Abimelech, he was a judge of Israel. There's this guy who came up after him, Tola, the son of Pua. Please don't name your kids Pua, okay? They might get bullied a little bit. But he said, after this judge, you have the children of Israel. This is the time of the judges, right? Where you have these different judges. They rise up to defend the people, to lead the people. But what do we know about Tola? Well, he's a son of some guy we don't know. He's a man of Issachar. I mean, that's the tribe he is from. And he lived in this town where we probably don't even know ourselves, right? Somewhere in Israel. He dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died. But God doesn't really give us a description of what happened in his life. Now, maybe he did accomplish a lot of things and God just didn't tell us. But I think God here is trying to show us here by telling us not by what he's not showing us. See, we have other judges in the book of Judges, right, where God gives us a lot of detail about their life, right? Samson, isn't there a couple chapters about Samson where it like lists like all the things he went through in his entire life and the things he accomplished and the battles he won and all the Philistines he destroyed, right? All the things he accomplished for God. But then you get to Tola and it's like, well, he was a judge of the children of Israel for 23 years and he died. Like that's his whole, everything he accomplished in his life. He was just a ruler in Israel. And you know, that's a pretty good spot to be at that time, right? You're the king of Israel. Maybe he was a really good person or maybe not. Maybe he just was a bad person who got lifted up to power. I don't know how we really see that nowadays, you know. Oh, wait, we've had Trump and Biden. I mean, a lot of bad people get into power, okay? But Tola, we don't really know anything about his life. It kind of seems like me when just reading the story, his life just went by and he didn't really accomplish anything, right? That's how I read the story, where his life just passed him by. It's just like a flash. Well, he was a king for 23 years and he died. Would you want that to be said about your life? And who cares what I think of you or, you know, your family thinks of you necessarily, but do you want God to view your life as that? Where, yeah, this person was born. They're born in a city. This is their family. And, you know, they believe on Jesus Christ. Praise God. They're saved. Praise God. They're one of my children. Praise the Lord. They're with me in heaven. But then God's just looking at your life. And he's saying, well, he was a child of God for 23 years and he died. I would hate to live in heaven just in regret my entire life where it's like, that was my life, where I didn't accomplish anything like Tola. Right? And that's what the sermon is about, is that your life is a vapor. Your life is just very short and you want to accomplish as much as you possibly can right now because we don't have that much time. And we don't want to go 23 years without accomplishing anything. Look at verse number 3, Judges 10:3. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair until this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Tamar. So again, it's pretty much the same situation as the last judge, Tola. You have another guy rises up after Tola. His name's Jair. And he judged, again, 22 years, a long time. That's a long time to judge the children of Israel. But it didn't really say anything that he really did. He had some children, yes. And it doesn't really seem like he had some good relationships either, because 30 sons? I don't think that's coming from one woman. I mean, that's a really strong woman right there. She got 30 sons. I mean, dang. But a lot of times we see when people have that amount of children, normally it's because they have multiple wives. So that tells me something wrong about that their family history right there. Like, got some weird stuff going on. We see that a lot in the Bible. It's like, David has this wife, and I mean, Solomon, he had 700 wives. I mean, that's the only way you could have that many sons. Maybe there's a rare exception out there. But generally, you don't just have 30 sons with one woman. That's going to take several women at least, probably, right? But really, that's all we have. Well, it says in 30 sons, they rode on 30 asses, and they had 30 cities. Okay, I was thinking of the other judge where I think he had nephews. But anyways, that's all we know about Jair, is that he lived, he was a judge of Israel, he had 30 sons, and they rode on some animals, and he died. I mean, I would hate for God to look at my whole Christian life, and he says, Duncan, you were here on earth for 50 years, 60 years, and you had a wife, and you had a child, and you died. I don't want that to be said of me from God. Like I said, I don't really care how you judge me, personally. I'm more concerned with how God views me. And I don't want God to view my entire life as where he lived. I mean, he was prospering. He was the king of Israel. He's doing pretty good. He had a good job, had a stable family. But that's all I accomplished. I don't want that to be what God thinks of me. I would rather God look at my life and say, this is a man after God's own heart. Or look at all these battles he went through. Look at all these things that he did for me. Look at all these people that he led to me. And then God will give that person glory, whoever, you know, did that for him. I'd rather that to be said of my life rather than, well, he judged for 22 years and he died. I mean, we don't see that with a lot of the other judges, right? We're seeing they're doing all these great things for God and God recorded that, but we don't see that with these two people, do we? No, because our life is a vapor. I mean, I'm sure it appears from just reading the story that those 22 years just flashed by. 23 years just gone. And what did he really accomplish? Turn to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. So my question is, from Judges, what did these people really accomplish? I mean, they were rulers, and then one of them had some kids. I mean, being a judge of Israel, maybe that's something hard to accomplish, but I mean, having kids for, you know, 99% of people, it's pretty easy for most people just to have kids. Obviously, some people struggle with that, and that's very hard, but I mean, just for somebody to lie with a bunch of women, that's not really doing that much. You didn't really accomplish a lot, especially in the sight of God. I'm going to read for you Ecclesiastes 8:5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. See, Solomon was the wisest person who ever existed, right? Because God gave him that wisdom. He was filled with the Spirit, and God gave him all this wisdom. And one thing that Solomon recorded for us, obviously, is the Holy Spirit speaking to us through Solomon. He said, somebody who's wise, somebody who's smart, somebody who's godly and doing the right things, that what they're able to understand, what a wise person understands is time and judgment. See, a wise person realizes that we only have a little amount of time here on this earth. A wise person realizes our time is short, that our life is a vapor, and we need to do as much as we possibly can with that time. Because a wise person understands time and judgment. Because here's the thing, we're all going to be judged according to our works. Now, for the saved, thank God all our sins are forgiven. We're only going to be judged by the good things that we've done, right? Anybody who's saved, they're forgiven of their sins. They believed on Jesus Christ. They're not going to be judged for any of their sins because Jesus Christ paid for that through his blood. But you know what? We're saved. We're still going to be judged according to our works. The Bible says we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things that you did in your body. So a wise person, they understand time and judgment, where you're going to be judged based upon the things that you did in this life. And a wise person will realize, hey, I only have a small amount of time on this earth. My life is a vapor. I need to do as much as I possibly can before it's too late. Because you don't want to end up like that rich guy, right? Where you just died tomorrow. And you wake up in heaven. You're like, man, there's so much more I could have been doing, but I missed out on it. Because I was chasing the wrong things. Because I wasn't doing what I knew I was supposed to be doing. Wise people understand time is short. And my question for you is, what are you going to do with the time given unto you? God has given us all an amount of time, right? But what are you doing with that time? Every day you wake up, every time you take a breath, that's precious time that God has given you. But what are you doing with that time? Are you just wasting it, doing the wrong things? Or are you on the right track where you're serving God and you wouldn't have any regrets about what you've been doing because, hey, you know you've been in the right place? I had you turn to 1 John 2. Look at verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. See, one day Jesus Christ is going to come back, right? And specifically, he's going to come back in the rapture, where he's going to rapture people. And I'd be really ashamed, right, if you see Jesus in the clouds and you're living in sin, you're like in the middle of sinning, and then Jesus comes back in the clouds, you're going to be a little bit ashamed before him at his coming. I picture this too, like if I just died in sin and then I just woke up and Jesus was like the first person I saw. Like, man, I don't know what I was doing, Jesus. Like, I'm a little bit ashamed before him at his coming. Whenever he appears to me, I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. I'd rather be able to, and all of us probably will be ashamed before him, no matter when we see him, whether it be at the rapture or whether we die and go to heaven. I'm sure all of us, I mean, he's God. He's so holy and just. Whenever we see him in heaven, we're just going to fall on our faces and say, Lord, you know, we're just going to give him reverence. We're just going to give him honor, and we're all probably going to be ashamed to some degree. But I bet you'd be a lot less ashamed if the last year or a couple years or your last 10 years, the entire time was serving Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You'd probably be a lot less ashamed if you're serving him ever since you got saved faithfully and don't have any major sin in your life. Obviously, we all sin. That's why I said, you know, we're all going to be a little bit ashamed before him. At the same time, it'd be nice to look at Jesus Christ in the face and say, you know, I served you faithfully every single day. I tried to do as best as I could. I tried to get as much work done for you as I possibly could. And how wonderful would it be for Jesus Christ to say unto you personally, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, that's probably like the most comforting words you could hear from God. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. He doesn't say that about a lot of people. That's reserved for the people who served him sincerely and in godliness and honesty most of their days, right? And that's what I would want God to view me as. Like I said, I don't really care about what you think of me. I want to see what God thinks of me. And that's why I want to be as faithful to him as I possibly can be right now. That way I won't be ashamed before him at his coming. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So like I said, we're all going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. And my question was, what are you going to do with the time given unto you? And if you actually want to serve God, what you need to think about is you need to decide what you actually need to do or what you actually want to do. I mean, what do you want God to view your life as? What do you want to see? What do you want God to see as the things you accomplished in this life? And I mean, that's something we all have to make our own personal goals, but ask yourself this question: how do you want God to view you right now and whenever you stand before him in heaven? And if you could stand before Jesus Christ, what would you tell Jesus Christ that you did for him? I mean, what if you stood before him and you're like, man, I didn't do anything. I was just that rich man, and I chased after riches, and I died, and here I am. I mean, I'd much rather be able to show Christ, well, this is what I did with my life. You know, you died for me, Jesus Christ. I believed on you. Thank you so much. This is what I did. After I got saved, I just went to church as much as I possibly could. Every day, I prayed unto you and asked for your blessings. Every day, I took care of my family. I tried to live a godly life. I was honest with people. I was a hard worker. You know, I went soul winning. I mean, these are the things I did for you, Jesus. Especially soul winning, because that's the most important, all the people that you bring to heaven with you, right? Now, I'd love to stand before Jesus Christ and be like, look at all these people I brought to you, Jesus Christ. And it's not even for my glory. It's like, they're all going to bring you glory. It's all to glorify him. It's not about me. Personally, I don't really care about rewards. Because, I mean, rewards are a nice incentive. God incentivizes us a lot with rewards, but you know, that's up to him. I'm not really too concerned with how much God is going to reward me. It's mainly for those souls. It's mainly for them. You know, I just want them. If I get rewarded for that, great. If not, hey, at least they're in heaven with me. But I don't want to be ashamed before Jesus Christ and have no lost souls converted to him, where I'm standing before him ashamed. I'm like, man, I've been saved for 30 years, and I didn't win one person to Christ. Wouldn't you feel pretty ashamed before him? You had to stand before him and be like, I didn't tell a single person about you, Jesus. I mean, The person you love most in this world, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your God, and you didn't tell anybody about him. Or maybe you told a couple people. Praise God if you told at least a couple people. But I'd rather have the great multitude with me in heaven where we can all be rejoicing together rather than seeing those people in hell. I don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. There's a great quote. You may have heard it before. It reads this: only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. See, our life is a vapor. It said, our life, only one life, YOLO, right? You only live once, right? It will soon be passed. Our life is going to pass by really quickly. I mean, one day you're going to wake up and be like, I'm 80 years old, I can't walk anymore, and I got all these problems with my body. I mean, one day we're all going to get to that point, hopefully, right? And what the quote's saying is that only the things you've done for Christ is going to last. Just like we read the parable with the rich man, right? None of his possessions are going to last. Everything was destroyed. Everything decayed. I mean, he couldn't take anything with him, whether he went to heaven or hell. I mean, it's all pointless. And the only things you've done for Christ, that's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing with eternal value, is your service for God. In Proverbs 18:9, the Bible says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, somebody who's really lazy, they're slothful in his work, his brother, he's also a great waster. It's just comparing the two. Saying somebody who's really slow and lazy and they don't like to work, that guy is also a great waster. Right? Somebody who's lazy, are they taking care of the things that they have? No. They're just letting it all waste. They just trash their house, they trash their car. I mean, their whole life is a mess. Why? Because they're slothful in his work. I mean, if you're lazy, your life is just going to be a complete wreck. Because everybody in here, your life is just constantly falling apart, right? You got this problem going on and this problem going on. You got this going on. If you're lazy, you're not getting anything done, your life is just going to fall apart. But what that proverb is saying is that somebody who's lazy is just the same as somebody who's just wasteful. They're just wasting all their possessions. And I think what I mentioned earlier is that time is the most precious thing you have. And so lazy people, you know what they also do? They waste a lot of time. And what are we talking about? Our life is a vapor. You don't want to waste your days here on this earth. You don't want to waste the time that God has given you. Because then you're just that lazy and slothful servant, right? You don't want God to think of you that way. You would rather God think of you and say, man, this person didn't waste any time. I mean, this person was just doing everything they should have been. Just keep doing that. Hey, you're doing great. So don't waste your time, because your time is very precious. In 1 Timothy 4, if you're not already, go to 1 Corinthians 3, because we're going to get there next. I'm going to read for you 1 Timothy 4:8. The Bible says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That's my go-to verse right there. Bodily exercise profiteth little, all right? Going to the gym, that profits little. Nice when you're out of shape hearing that verse. Like, cool, it profits little. Now, it does profit, though. We should all try and eat healthy and exercise and have a good diet, right? It does profit. But in the grand scheme of things, it profits little. Because when you're in heaven, we all get a glorified body anyway. You know, maybe we'll have a six-pack, you know? It'd be nice, right? And the bodily exercise you did right now didn't really matter because, hey, we all get that in heaven, right? But it's comparing the carnal aspect with the spiritual. Because the carnal things that you did in this lifetime, they profit very little. Your job, it's enough to get you by. It's enough to put food on the table. It's enough to provide a house. But it profits little in the grand scheme of things. Where you're like that rich man, and yeah, you had these carnal things that profited you a little in this lifetime, but what did it really matter in the long run when you're in heaven for all eternity? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. See, if you're godly and you're walking in the Spirit and you're following God's commandments, that's profitable of the promise that of life that now is. That's going to benefit you now. The godly things you're doing for Jesus Christ now, that's going to benefit you a lot in this life. But it says also in the life which is to come. See, that's where godliness is profitable, because that's going to last for all eternity. here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, if we look at this passage here, Paul's talking about that we are God's husbandry. If you go back to verse number 9, that we are God's building, right? We're the temple of God. And God wants us to have a good foundation, right? We got to have the foundation of Jesus Christ. We got to start off with salvation. But that's not all God wants for us, and that's not all I want for me. I don't just want the foundation of Christ. I want to build upon that foundation. The Bible says that you're God's husbandry. Where's the verse I was looking for? Oh, in verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Saying, I want to be a wise master builder and build upon this foundation so I can have these rewards that he's talking about a few verses later. But he says in the end of verse number 10, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. See, if you're saved in this room, you got that foundation. You got the best foundation you could ever ask for. It's never going to crack. You're never going to have any problems with that foundation because that foundation is Jesus Christ. But my question is, what are you building upon that foundation? Because whatever you build on that foundation, Paul's saying it's going to be tried by fire. And that's where God is pretty much going to look at everything you did in your life and saying, okay, let's see how good this wise master builder was. Let's see how good he built this house. See, the foundation's solid. That's not going anywhere. That's going to get through the fire, no problem. But whatever you build on that foundation might be left, or it might just be completely gone. Because it says, a foundation in verse number 11 is Jesus Christ. And if you build on this foundation in verse number 12, gold, silver, precious stones, we know if you put those through fire, that's going to survive, right? The gold, the silver, those things are going to survive, right? But do you think wood, hay, and stubble is going to survive that fire? No. It's going to be poof, gone. And that would be terrible when you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. You're like, all right, Jesus, this is all the works I did for you. And he's just like, it's all wood, hay, and stubble, and it's just gone. Now, those are things that didn't really matter. Those things didn't really have any value. Because anything spiritually you did of eternal value, you're not going to lose that reward, okay? So rest assured, anything, any good work you do for Jesus Christ will be rewarded for. Those will be some kind of gold, silver, precious stones. I mean, any good work. I mean, the Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet, you're not going to lose that reward, okay? So this isn't talking about losing rewards, but the things that are getting burnt up is the vanity, the things that didn't really matter. Like the parable we started off with in the beginning, right? The rich man who had all these riches and all his wealth. That's like that wood, hay, and stubble. It's like, your business, gone. I had a multi-billion dollar business, gone. Because that's the wood, hay, and stubble. That doesn't really matter. But the spiritual things you do for Jesus Christ, the good works you do for him, that's the precious stones. That's that gold. That's that silver. And we need to take heed how we're building upon our foundation of Jesus Christ so that way we don't miss out on all the rewards we could have gotten. So how are you building your foundation? So here's the application of what I want to get into. Most people in here, you've been going to church, you know the things that you need to do, right? That we know we all need to be reading our Bible. We all know we need to be soul winning. I mean, we all know we need to be in church. Everybody in here, I'm sure you're well of the basics, right? But my question is, are you doing it? Are you doing it? The things you know you need to do, are you doing it? Because guess what? Your life is a vapor. Our life could be taken tonight. And how bad would you feel? It's like you got all the stuff you know you needed to do that you should have been doing, and then you wake up tomorrow in heaven, and you're like, man, I missed out. My life was just a vapor. It's just gone. There's so many things I could have done for Jesus Christ, but I didn't. So my question is here, are you doing the things you know you need to do? And if not, when are you going to do it? When are you going to start? Because it was talking about in James 4, it's like, yeah, today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. We're going to buy and sell and get gain. It's going to be great. But he's just talking all the talk. He doesn't actually do it. See, there's a lot of things we, each and every one of us in here, know we need to be doing. But when are you actually going to do it? Because your life is a vapor. You don't want to just let that pass you by. You want to start working on it now. You don't want to be in heaven living with the regret of the things that you should have been doing, but you weren't, right? And one thing I would like to think about is that what if you stood before Jesus Christ tomorrow? I mean, just picture that. Just imagine you're just standing before Jesus Christ and you're just about to give an account for the things that you've done. What are you going to tell him that you did? And if you don't have anything, if you can't think of anything, it's like, okay, that's the idea of the sermon, right? To provoke you. Like, man, okay, these are the things I should have been doing. This is what I need to start working on now. That way, if I did stand before Jesus Christ tomorrow, I would say, this is what I've accomplished. This is the things that I've been working on. So again, we all know we should be reading, right? Everybody in here knows we need to be reading the Bible. But are you actually doing it? I mean, what if you stood before Jesus Christ tomorrow? He's like, so, how's that reading been going? You're like, man, you're ashamed before him at his coming, right? You're like, it's like, so, did you ever read the Bible one time? Yeah, about that. start to get really awkward in there, right, when you're talking to him. Or would you rather be saying, yeah, I did read it. I read the entire thing. Wouldn't that be, you'd feel a lot less ashamed, right? If you're like, well, I didn't read a whole lot, but at least I read it once. It's like, all right, maybe not, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's like, all right, good, you know, good job. Maybe you get something nice, right? But you don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. You're like, man, I didn't read the Bible one time. Wouldn't you feel pretty ashamed if you saw Jesus Christ tomorrow and you told him you didn't even read the Bible once? I mean, don't we have the Bible for us to read it? Didn't Jesus Christ preach over and over and over, have you not read? So why aren't you doing it? Your life is a vapor. You might not get an opportunity tomorrow, so you need to be trying to reading as much as you can. That'd be pretty great to if you, whenever you died, is that you're just like in the middle of reading the Bible, right? That'd be a great time to die. It's like, all right, I wasn't sinning at that moment. Okay, I'm feeling pretty good. But if you're off at the bar getting drunk and you died, you're going to feel pretty ashamed of yourself, aren't you? So we all know we should be reading. We all know we should be praying, right? Everybody in here, we know that we should be praying. But are you doing it? Do you actually have a prayer life where you're walking with God and you're asking him to bless you each and every day? And not only for yourself, are you praying for other people as well? We all know we should be doing it, but are we actually doing it? I'd be very ashamed if I stood before Jesus Christ tomorrow, and man, there's a whole church of people full of people that I loved and I care about, and I never even prayed for any of them. I would be very ashamed to stand before Jesus Christ and have to tell him that. It'd bring me a lot more comfort and be like, no, I was praying for these people all the time. I cared about these people, and you saw me doing that, Jesus, rather than being ashamed before him, right? We all know we should be soul winning. Everybody in here, it's not just the pastor's job. It's not just Brother Dylan's job. It's each and every person's in here job to preach the gospel. And that was a point earlier, is that you don't want to stand before Jesus Christ tomorrow and be like, I had no fruit. And thank God you can have no fruit and still go to heaven. Because it's just by faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved. What did that say in 1 Corinthians 3:15? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the great news is, even if all you have is a foundation of Jesus Christ and all you build upon that is wood, hay, and stubble, and that all just gets burned and it's poof and it's gone, hey, even though you had no other fruit, Even though you had no other house or anything else, you're still saved. Yeah, so as by fire, you're still saved from the fire. You're still good. Thank God for that. But I'd be very ashamed if I stood before Christ tomorrow and I had to tell him that I never got a single person saved. And if you've gotten somebody saved, great. But when's the last time you got somebody saved? Has it been a month? Has it been 2 months? When's the last time you got somebody saved? And maybe, you know, you go out soul winning, you don't get anybody saved. You know, I wouldn't be ashamed of that. If I hadn't gotten anybody saved in 6 months, which would be pretty odd, especially in this area, but I was still going soul winning all the time, I wouldn't feel bad because I'm still doing my job. So the shame part would just be not going at all, not trying at all. But would you like to stand before Jesus Christ tomorrow and say, I haven't been soul winning in the last year. I haven't been soul winning in 10 years. I never got one person saved. I didn't even try. I had the Bible. I had all these videos. I had all the stuff I could have been studying and searching out and making an attempt to learn, but then I never did. I know I should have been doing it, Jesus Christ, but I'm sorry. I don't want to feel ashamed before him. If I had to stand before him tomorrow, I'd much rather say, yep, I've been faithfully soul winning, you know, ever since, right? So we all know what sins we also that we need to get out of our life, right? I'm sure everybody in here struggles with certain sins. And like I talked about a minute ago, is that you don't want to die in the bar getting drunk, right? You'd much rather fix that sin and get that out of your life before you stand before Jesus Christ. And that would apply for any sin that you're doing, right? You don't want to be standing before Jesus Christ and a minute before you're doing something really awful or you're doing something really evil. You're doing something really wicked. You'd much rather be like, hey, I wasn't sinning at that time. I was praying when I died. You know, I was reading the Bible when I died, right? But we all know what sins we should be getting rid of. We all know that there's things we need to change, and we need to do it now before it's too late, because your life is a vapor, right? We all know the things we should be doing. Spending time with your family. I mean, your life is a vapor. You don't know how much time you got with any person in your life. You need to make the most of the people you have right now. Your wife, you need to spend as much time as you can right now. Your children, you need to invest in that as much as you possibly can right now, because you don't know how much time you have. And you don't want to wake up in heaven and regret and be like, man, I should have been spending more time with my wife. I should have been a better father. I should have been a better husband. I should have done better in these areas. You don't want to live with that regret for all eternity. You'd much rather be able to say, you know, hey, I was loving my wife as best as I possibly could every day. I was trying to raise the best kids I possibly can. That way you're not ashamed before Jesus Christ. That way, if you did die tomorrow, you're going to say, hey, I was doing what I could. I was trying my best. I wasn't perfect, but I was doing the best that I could. So serve God now. Serve God now, because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You don't know when your last day is going to be. And so my admonition for you tonight is to go home tonight and write out the goals you want to accomplish. Because here's the thing, if you don't plan for it, it's just not going to happen. The likelihood of it happening is going to be very few and far between. If you actually want to accomplish things for Jesus Christ, you actually need to make a plan, because otherwise you're just going to be wasting your time. You're not going to get those goals accomplished. If you know, okay, yeah, I need to read the Bible, but then you don't actually make a plan, the likelihood of that happening is very small. If you don't have a plan to read the Bible, you know it's Bible reading you're going to do? A very small amount. It's going to be very few and far between. You're going to be like, man, I haven't read the Bible in a week. Why? Because you didn't have a plan. You weren't like, every day, your plan might be, okay, I'm going to read 3 chapters every single day. That's my plan. Without that plan, that's not really going to happen. And the great thing about it is, if you read 3 chapters every single day, you'll be finished in about a year. And that way, you could say, you know, I've been saved 20 years. I just read 3 chapters every day, and I stand before Jesus Christ and say, I only read it 3 chapters a day, but hey, I read it 20 times before I died. I'd much rather that be said than, man, I didn't touch the Bible. Why? Because you didn't actually have a plan. Right? If you want to get somebody saved, you know what you need to do? You need to actually write down some goals and write down some plans. Right? If you don't do that, the likelihood of it happening is just not going to happen. First, to get somebody saved, you know what you got to do? You got to learn to actually do it. How are you going to get saved if you don't actually learn how to do it? And every saved person in here should have the desire to get other people saved. And if you don't have the desire to get other people saved, I mean, what's wrong with you? Do you not remember that hell is real and that people actually go there? Do you not care about other people? I mean, hell is a very real place, and people are dying and going to hell every single day. And are you doing your part to reach those people? Like I said, you don't want to live in regret. And if you don't know how to get somebody saved, you should be spending every day trying to get that sorted out where you're actually able to preach the gospel. I mean, have you looked at the verses yourself? Have you opened the Bible and studied it and saying, these are the verses that they need to hear to get saved? They need to hear the Romans road. I'm going to go in my Bible. I'm going to highlight all those verses. I'm going to learn them. I'm going to study them. And then I'm going to go actually use them. I'm going to show up Saturday morning, or I'm going to show up to the soul winning time Sunday afternoon, or I'm going to go soul winning at this time and actually learn. The great part about soul winning is you don't have to do any talking. We go out by twos. You could literally sit there and be silent the entire time, just learning and watching and making good friends and having fellowship, and you'll still get rewarded for that just as much as the other person, just as much as your partner. Even if you're not talking while soul winning, guess what? You're still getting rewarded just as much as the talker is, because we go out two by twos. If we don't have a silent partner is a very important role. But even if you don't know how to preach the gospel, you could at least go as a silent partner. And that way, what are you following? The goal to get people saved, and you're trying to accomplish that goal by actually going. Because guess what? You're never going to learn how to preach the gospel if you don't go out soul winning and learn how to preach the gospel. It's going to be very hard to share the gospel with people. You don't even know where to start. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to bring up the conversation. You don't know what verses to go to. It's going to be really hard to get that goal accomplished if you don't actually go out and practice it. And then eventually you'll go out long enough, well, you'll know how to preach the gospel. But if you don't know how to preach the gospel, you should be making that your number one goal right now and trying to do everything you possibly can and make sure that you're accomplishing that goal, because your life is a vapor. And so go home tonight, any goal that you have, whether it's to find a spouse, you know, right now, okay, this is what I need to do to find a spouse. These are the things I can improve on myself, you know, whatever it is you want to accomplish in this life, go home tonight and write those things down and start actively working on them. Because if you don't actually make a plan, it's just not going to happen, right? That happens to us all, where we just go through life just kind of coasting, and, you know, it's really easy to just let your life pass you by. But you don't want your life to just go by like that. It's a vapor. It's just immediately gone. You want to do as much as you possibly can right now. It says in 2 Corinthians, you're in 1 Corinthians 3. You can turn over to 2 Corinthians 5 real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I've been quoting this a few times throughout the sermon. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." They're saying we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I already mentioned this before. You're never going to be condemned for your sins, okay? I don't care what Kent Hovind says, where he says that if you're, you know, I didn't hear it specifically out of his mouth, but he had this person on his show teaching that if you're a Christian and you live a sinful life, that you may go to the lake of fire for a period of time. Look, that's never going to be our judgment seat. That's never going to be the judgment seat of Christ for saved believers. The Bible says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If you're saved, you can't go to the lake of fire for any amount of time. Thank God. I don't want to be in there for a second. But just because you're saved, you're still going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're never going to be judged and condemned for your sins. He's not going to, I don't think for saved people, that he's just going to, you're going to, Go before him in heaven. There's just going to be like a projection screen of all your sins. He's like, okay, this day you did this, and this day you did that. That's not going to happen for the saved. We're saved. Our sins have been forgiven. They're washed away. The unsaved, yeah, they do have that happen, and that's really scary. That's a scary judgment for the unsaved, that they literally have to account for every single time they sinned. By every word that even came out of their mouth, not only that came out of their mouth, in their heart. I mean, that would be a terrifying judgment if you had to stand in front of God and account for every sin you've done. That's terrifying. And then to be cast into hell. Now, we're saved. We don't have to ever experience that. We've believed on Jesus Christ. He gave us eternal life. We're born again. But at the same time, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone's going to receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. See, that foundation, whatever you build on that foundation, you're going to receive a judgment for it. And the judgment might be, it's all gone. Or you might get a lot of blessings, a lot of honor, a lot of glory for all the good things that you've done. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, where you have, you know, different bodies, they're glowing at a different, some are brighter than other people, right? We're going to shine like the stars. You know, some people are going to shine a lot brighter than others. You might be like the Lot. His little light, you know, it's very small, but it's still there, right? And then, of course, you got God. His light's, you don't even need the sun anymore. He's so bright. And everybody's going to have their own glory. You're all going to receive, you know, a reward based upon the things that you did in this life. Everyone in here is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A wise person realizes that your time is very short and you need to be trying to do as much as you possibly can. So that way, whenever you do wake up in heaven, you got that glory. You're not ashamed before him. You can say, these are the things I did for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's all the things I've done for you. But a wise person, they recognize time and judgment. James 4, where we started, I'll finish with this last verse. James 4, 14. Whereas you know not which shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So ask yourself that question. What is your life? What does your life consist of? What value would God look at your life and saying, this is what this person's life was about. This is the value that this person's life had. These were the things that he did for me. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We only have a little bit of amount of time on this earth, and we need to make the most of that time because eventually it's just going to vanish away. It's going to be like the smoke, just gone. And the only things you did for Jesus Christ will last in all eternity. So time is short, and what are you doing with the time given unto you? Let's bow our heads, word of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for all the time you have given us, for all the time we've got to spend with our families and our loved ones, all our service we've been able to do for you. I just pray you'd help everyone in here to realize that our time is short and that our life is a vapor. And just please help us to number our days, to make the most out of each and every day, that we could just faithfully serve you, that we could be the best parents, that we could be the best spouses, that we could get the most amount of people saved as we can while we're still here. And please stir up all of our hearts to serve you better. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and sing one more song before we head home. Go ahead and turn to 409. The fight is on. Song number 409, The Fight Is On. The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory.